the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Chris Ittings, Associate Professor of Language, Literacy, and Culture at the University of Arizona. She does research involving graffiti and critical awareness. Welcome, Dr. Ittings.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you here with us today.
I'm happy to be here, too.
Tell us about yourself and how you got interested in doing a study on graffiti and critical awareness. Or you might want to even tell us more about how you're defining graffiti and critical awareness and how that relates to literacy.
Okay, actually, I think first I can tell you a little bit about how I have become interested in critical awareness. I think that was kind of the order of which that happened. That has been an interest for me since the beginning, the very beginnings of my formation as a teacher, even in Brazil. I grew up in Brazil, and therefore the influence of Paulo Freire was very present for me. As a matter of fact, has been one of the major influences in my academic work.
Yes. So what is critical awareness? Or give us some examples of critical awareness.
I think it comes with an understanding of your own realities and also with a critical edge to it. And so not just a descriptive understanding of your own reality, context, politics, and so forth, but also with the context around it and what mostly affect people in ways that perhaps need to be changed.
Now, maybe you can give us a little background even on the graffiti and in Brazil, because in America we think of this, of graffiti as typically a you know, something we're going to arrest somebody for.
That's right.
So clarify for us the artistic value and the social expressions and so forth that you were studying here.
Yeah, you know, that has been a fairly recent movement in Brazil, the graffiti or what they call street art. They actually now call urban intervention. Huh. And that has come with a lot of force, social force, and there is a particular style that is typical of particular cities in Brazil, and there is some artistic value that is attributed to it, depending on the style that is accommodated for it. And there is schools of graffiti, so people actually participate in learning. So it's seen much more as a mode of expression.
Yes.
And that is different from tagging, from what they call tagging, which is more of those black symbol-like letters that it's difficult to decipher. So what they see of more value and that has an artistic sense to it as well is the actual murals, and they have particular figures and messages that go with, and that is spread almost all over the places, and more so.
Yeah. Now, most of the work that we discuss, most of the research we discuss on this podcast, takes place in classrooms, and it studies literacy learning, literacy teaching, literacy assessment, literacy policy. And the work that you've done here is a little bit different, and I think really intriguing. Now that you've done this work, what would you tell teachers?
Well, thanks for that. I think it does have a particular relevance to education in general, in that understanding classrooms and understanding literacy beyond the walls that bind a building, right, a physical place of a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we move education, how do we move literacies to really broader context,
mm-hmm.
where communities are forming and members are engaging, and there is a lived experience that is reflected.
Mm-hmm.
So in those ways, a more natural link to learning in and of itself. So it would not be as artificial as some of the things that we try to present in classrooms.
So are you advocating that we teach graffiti at school?
I think I'm advocating for what actually I have been doing through some other work, which is community-based education.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
I'm advocating for a deeper understanding of local knowledge, local communities,
yes.
and its members,
yes.
to a level that goes beyond the knowing or epistemologies, but it comes to a level of experiential understandings,
mm-hmm.
that take place within these particular places.
Now, several of the researchers I've talked to regarding English language learners, or ELL, they will... they've commonly highlighted for us on this podcast how we need to be sure that we don't consider ELL students as a deficit model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we need to value and recognize they bring in a whole life set of experiences and backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of what you're tapping into here?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to the idea of, you know, building on whatever knowledges are present in their communities,
mm-hmm.
and really
mm-hmm.
understanding that. But I think I would like to think that we need to go beyond that, just understanding those sets of knowledges or you know, the capital that they have is not necessarily sufficient, and it's not really a difficult idea to embrace if you think about, you know, what we kind of preach as mm-hmm. educators to even other educators, you know, the idea of embracing diversity. That's not that hard to take on. But I think the hard part is to how do you empower diversity and linguistic and minority students.
Yeah.
So that is how the combination of this idea of understanding fronts of knowledge and understanding critical awareness come together to propose, you know, that not only we need to understand and embrace and really try to respond to diversity.
Yeah, and that sounds like that's important information for teachers, parents, principals, and policymakers. But I'm thinking especially in terms of principals and policymakers in this era of accountability and, you know, how we can embrace and empower diversity is an interesting topic.
That's right. I think it's a place where I at least am, I have been pretty stubborn in my own work, mm-hmm. in trying to pursue, because I think we are moving, you know, in a direction of trying to understand diversity in the last 10 years. You know, I think we started with the idea of tolerance, for example.
Hmm.
Well, who really likes to be tolerated, right?
yeah.
And then, so we move from there to the idea of understanding, and still understanding really doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
To understand with empathy. And so, you know, we got to keep pushing this continuum.
Fun, interesting to think about the progression. So where do we need to go from here? What research are you doing next? What do we still need to learn about graffiti and critical awareness and literacy and critical awareness?
So I think, you know, I keep talking about the last 10 years of my career, but I think now, and they all have kind of, you know, built on one another, and but I think I have done pieces having to do with this idea of community-based education. And so one of the pieces have had to do with professional development for teachers, and another piece has had to do with pre-service teacher education, and how do we get pre-service teachers to really buy into some of these ideas that are, in a sense, so different from their own experiences, and really, in some terms, even their own ideologies. And other pieces have had to do with working with families, and other pieces have had to do with working with communities and neighborhoods. So this next project that I am in, involved with brings all of that together and takes a very comprehensive approach to empowering diversity, from working with teachers, in-service teachers and pre-service teachers, as well as faculty members in our universities, as well as community members, as well as families, and so bringing all of that together.
Wow, so that'll be really interesting to you know, both put together this Reading Research Quarterly piece, and we'll continue to look for your upcoming work too then. That sounds really great.
Thanks.
Good. Dr. Chris Ittings from the University of Arizona, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You can find the work of Dr. Ittings in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 46, Issue 1. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Ittings. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.